It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Happy to have you with us here on this Wednesday afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation this week. We are pleased to be joined right now on the West Hur Hotline by Odyssey Major League Baseball insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in Major League Baseball and around sports every week. Brett, it strikes me here, we've been doing this since last season, I feel like one or the other of us is almost always not here when we have you on. I don't know why it's happened this way, but it just seems to be happening that way. So Mike is away again.
When you're monthly, things like that happen.
Right. And it's baseball season, which also happens to be summer. So, you know, we don't exactly get to take time off during football season over here, Brett. That's how things go. Anyway, how you been? How's summer treating you?
Good. Traveling a lot. And, you know, we're going station to station right now. We did a little New Jersey trip and a Hawaii trip, and I just got back from Seattle. I did a few Mariner events, headed off to Indiana. Then I got Braves weekend. I'm busy. It's a busy time of year for me.
Sounds like it. Well, we're glad you still have time for us here in Buffalo. I wanted to start with you. The White Sox ended a 21-game losing streak yesterday. And I don't know, like this. I'm a little reluctant. We don't know each other very well at all here. We've been doing this, like I said, since last season. So I don't know if there's scar tissue here, but like the losing streak. I mean, from afar, like it's easy for me to just go, boy, the White Sox. Holy cow! Look at this historic, you know, bad run they're on. But they end it last night. Like, what is it like on a team? I mean, it's August, right? Dog days time, and they hadn't won a game, I think, since early July. What comes to mind when I bring up losing streaks to you? Are you going to hang up on me?
It's unbelievable. I mean, you're right. I mean, since July, it's like it's almost like they're in the NFL. You know, sometimes you go 4 weeks without a win.
Right.
Baseball, that's not very good. Man, what a year the White Sox, and what a change of events from 4 years ago, where I was so optimistic about the future of the White Sox 3-4 years ago, and it's just not gone as planned. They ended up, you know, selling off what they could. They kept Crochet at the trading deadline, but they got rid of some guys at the deadline. They need a revamping complete. I feel for a Pedro Grifol, who's the skipper there, because a lot falls on your shoulders. When you're the mm-hmm. skipper, it doesn't matter. If the players play good, they play bad. At the end of the day, the wins and losses are hung around your neck. So it's just been such a tough year. I couldn't imagine. I've been on some tough teams, believe me. I've been on some great teams. I've been on 3 or 4 really, really, you know, World Series caliber team, mm-hmm. and then I've been on some tough teams too, and I've been on some okay teams, you know, so I've run the gamut in my career on the teams I've been on, but my bad teams, I couldn't imagine losing that many in a row. I mean, we've been on some losing streaks. I remember in 07, man, we had a tough Reds team, weren't very good. I think in 2000 we came in dead last. When I was with the Padres, we were actually better than that. We just didn't pitch very much. We had some offense. But I couldn't imagine losing that many games in a row. And I was thinking about it. And after a while, I'm thinking, man, it's just one pitcher's got to step up and have a big day. That's it. And the game's over. Right. Win. You can put out, I don't care if you put out a triple A or double A offense. It's just all you need is one good pitching performance, and you're going to win a game at the big league level. So it was actually nice to kind of, I'm sure for them, they could breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
It probably felt like for them, they were never going to win another game. But, yeah, I've definitely been on the short side when it comes to winning and losing streaks. But, man, that was one for the ages.
How much does that test the mettle? You mentioned the manager's role in this. But, man, I just imagine you've got, you know, it's not a huge roster, but you got a lot of personalities. And is it the kind of thing that really tests whether you guys are together or not? I might be more curious to hear you talk about a good team that had a bad stretch and how you handled it versus like a bad team that knows they're not going anywhere and are just mired in a slump.
Well, I mean, I looked at my teammates over the years, and you know, great teammates are guys that kind of stay even keel. You know, they're pros. So I'm not saying when you're going good and you're rolling and personally you're in a really good stretch. I'm not saying after the game not to play a little music and have a smile on your face. There's nothing wrong with that. But also, I expect when you're in the dog days and you've lost five in a row and you're one for your last 15. I don't expect you to be in the fetal position in the corner either. I expect you to be pro, and I expect you to stay on kind of an even keel. You know, that line in the middle is, we don't get too high, we don't get too low. I know it's an old cliche, but it's true. And the more I played in this game, it's easy to do cartwheels when things are going great. But I want to see what kind of teammate you are, what kind of men are in that room that make up that 26-man roster when the blank hits the fan. I mean, because that shows me who I want to be in the foxhole with. You know, there's never been a losing team that I've been on where the camaraderie was all that great. I mean, there's finger pointing, and that's just what happens when you lose. You know, it's just a part of the deal. And then when you win, you know, I was on a team in 2001 that won 116 games. Believe me, 26 guys were the best friends in the world, and that tends to happen. I remember a quote from, you know, a reporter came up to me in the middle of that madness, and we had like a 14-game lead at the break. I mean, we were just having one of those years. And he said, I put the mic in my face, he said, Booney, he said, you know, it's really amazing to watch how Lou Piniella has really grown and kept his temperament. And I looked at him and started laughing. I said, if he can't keep a smile on his face on this team, there's no hope for him. It has nothing to do with Lou. He's still a crazy man. He just wins every night, so he can't help but smile. So it's just one of those things. It's tough when you're losing. Yep. It's really tough when you're, and that's why I mentioned the manager. There's only so much these guys can do, and so much is put on their shoulders. All you can do is get your players in the best position that you can from a managerial position to succeed. And once that national anthem ends and the game starts, there's not too much you can do. Yeah, you can bring the righty in, you can bring the lefty, and a computer these days can do that. But it's really about managing personnel. No different than really the business world. It's what can I say to player A to get the best result, and maybe player B I have to treat in a different manner to get the same results in the end. So, yeah, you feel for the manager at this point, but you also feel for those players because they've been through a long haul, and it's definitely a humbling experience when you're going through it. But the guys that get through it and get off the ground, dust themselves off, and start next year with a different attitude and learn from it, well, those are the guys that usually have that longevity in the game.
Being in this gig as long as my normal partner Mike and I have been, believe me, we've been all over the chicken or the egg conversation about chemistry, winning. Like, you need good chemistry to win, or does winning breed good chemistry? And it sounds from you like the latter has been your experience. Like, we win, we're all good.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to be good when you win. Yeah. Pop another bottle of champagne. Let's get it going. We win every night. Yeah, that's easy. I want to see you when you're down. I'll tell you this. I got to Atlanta in 1999, and I was one of those guys that you told me about chemistry. And yeah, that's all great. But give me the best talent in the world. Let me steamroll my opponent on a daily basis. That 1999 Atlanta team, it was workmanlike. We got to the ballpark, we put our lunch pails down, we kicked somebody's butt, and we went on. I think we won 104, 106 games that year. Lost in the World Series to the Yankees. So that's what I always thought. Now, chemistry's overrated. I got to the Seattle in the early 2000s, and we had a great team, don't get me wrong. We won 116 games, the greatest regular season ever team. I don't know if we were the most talented, but I'll tell you what, we had Hall of Famers on that team. We had batting champs. We had gold glovers, silver sluggers all over that lineup. And it just so happens that everything went perfect for us, too. We had three or four guys have career years all at the same time. We stayed healthy, our starting rotation especially. We just didn't miss a beat. It was one of those magic years. And it was a veteran-based team. And I remember it wasn't a very egotistical team. It was the most confident team I've ever been around. But it wasn't from a ego standpoint. It was just matter of fact. And it was a look. It was a wink. It was a nod. When we were in the dugout, we didn't have to say much. But if we were down by two in the seventh, it was a look to a teammate and a look to another teammate. And without using words, it was basically say, you know, we're going to come back and score three and win this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without saying words. And it was kind of a nod and a smile and off we go. And the next thing you know, we're tied. We end up winning that game. It's something that permeated on the field, and I don't mean to get hokey or woo-woo on you,
mm-hmm.
but I'm telling you, I can't really give it its due diligence to explain what it was like going through that. I don't think we lost a series till September that year.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like our worst series, we went 2-2. And, you know, the only thing, and there's an asterisk by that team now, is, and kind of a negative connotation was, oh, yeah, that 116 Mariner team, but they got beat and they didn't win the World Series, which is true. Because when you set the bar that high,
yep.
you're expected to win it all. And looking back, man, what could we have done different? Did we take the Yankees for granted in the ALCS? Who knows? But always be proud to be a part of it. And, you know, I just to this day, when I get together with the guys from that team, we just look at each other and go, how did we not finish the deal? But it's baseball. It's hard. That's why World Series trophies are elusive. Ask the Dodgers of recent time that had an 111-game season, won over 100 a few times, and really outside of 2020 have nothing, you know, from a World Series standpoint to show for it. They're really elusive, and I really have – I watch every year when the World Series champion, you know, emerges from that field, and I just look at the player, and I said, I hope you embrace this because, man, I chased that thing for a long time. I never got to win one, but they're pretty darn special.
We are enjoying our monthly visit with Brett Boone on the Wester Hotline here. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. So trade deadline came and went last week. I don't know, winners, losers, like who impressed you? And maybe who do you think didn't do enough?
Well, I made my list. I saw all the moves around baseball. A lot of players changed uniforms, changed clubhouses there was a lot of volume. But I look at it this way, with the new format, 12 teams making it to the postseason. And the trade deadline being moved back to 2 months before the end of the season, it's a real seller's market because there's not too many sellers anymore. Because of the way it's constructed, there's a lot more teams in the race for a lot longer. So teams that are, hey, one or two games out of the wild card, we're not sellers here. There were the obvious sellers, the White Sox, the Miami Marlins. But in past years, there's been a lot more sellers. So it was kind of thin. You heard about the Crochets of the world. You heard about the Scoobles of the world, maybe a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But none of the big guys went at the deadline. If I look at it, and for my winners, I think the Mariners did a really good job with what was out there. I know they were trying to get Diaz from the Tampa Bay Rays. Ended up not getting him. But they got a Rosarena, who got off to the worst start of his career, got a real postseason track record in the positive. And you got a Justin Turner, who for me is one of my favorite players to watch. I think he's had such a really good career, professional hitter, well-respected. He's age 39 now, so he's not the guy from 5-6 years ago. But the presence he can have, going back to chemistry, the presence he can have in that locker room in Seattle, Rosarena with the big personality, I think that's going to bode well for a Julio Rodriguez, who hasn't had a great year, Mariners star. Almost a little bit of competition there. Turner sitting there, it kind of reminds me of the Edgar Martinez in my day, the old man that sits at the end of the locker room that has the respect of the entire locker room, and if you got a question, he's there to kind of comfort you and give a little stability to that clubhouse. Also, low-key, they got Garcia from the Blue Jays. I think that's great to put in their bullpen because they needed some help in the bullpen. Mariners have the best starting pitching in all of baseball. And one of the worst offenses. So I think they improved. I also think the Padres improved. They got Jason Adam and Tanner Scott to really solidify that bullpen to go around, go with Suarez, who is their closer. I think they've got the best bullpen in baseball right now. Tatis coming back soon. They got a really good offense, top in the league, and three pretty good starting pitchers right now. So I think the Padres did well for themselves. Mets improved a little bit. Dodgers improved a little bit. But other than that, I don't think there were any huge winners, just a lot of guys changing uniforms.
Did it surprise you Toronto didn't move any of their big guys? There's a lot of chatter up here. I mean, it's been a very, very – I know we bring them up every – you know, the farm team is here, AAA team is here in Buffalo, and, you know, we have a significant audience in Southern Ontario. So I do like to mention the Blue Jays when we have the pleasure to talk to you. That the build has gone awry, and there was talk about maybe jettisoning some of the big guys. They didn't do that. What do you think of the way forward is for the Blue Jays?
No, I agree. I was very, you know, the Blue Jays ended up parting ways with Turner, Trevor right. Richards, Garcia. Kikuchi did go to the Astros, and Kiner Falefa, he moved on. But I really thought they were going to break it up. And I heard the talk that, no, we're going to keep Vladdy, and we're going to keep Bo Bichette, and we're going to make another run. But then I'm looking at their pitching staff, and you got a Berrios, you got a Gausman, you got a Bassett. And the way it was looking this year, I thought it was going to be a fire sale in Toronto. Yeah. But I did have Jim Bowden on my podcast right before the deadline, the day of the deadline. And he said, Booney, from what I'm hearing, Vladdy is off limits. They're not going to trade the farm. They're going to try to go with this core group of guys and try to do it one more time. Now, even when a guy like Jim, who's well-connected, that's his thing, trade deadline behind the scenes, I still didn't believe him. And then when it came to fruition, yeah, he was dead on, because I was pulling for the Seattle Mariners to get a Vladimir Guerrero. That would have been a huge boon to their offense, and that didn't happen. So, yes, I was very surprised because I had high expectations. I remember doing the pregame, the preseason opening, and you know, given all our picks, what do we know? But it's fun to really break it down. I had Toronto winning that division this year. How wrong was I? You know, they're in last place. Baltimore and the Yankees are top of the division, killing it. But, yeah, to me, Blue Jays, along with that White Sox that I mentioned at the top of the show being a disappointment, with that talent level, with that pitching staff, that starting rotation this year, I think they're one of the biggest underachieving teams in all of baseball. And it was interesting at the deadline. It didn't happen. They didn't have a fire sale, and they're going to go for it one more time. We'll see.
Brett, you mentioned the you know, the wild card, the expanded playoffs keeps more teams in it, so there's fewer sellers. So sellers that were willing to sell did well. It strikes me like not just the wild card races, the pennant race, the division races, at least in the American League, are all pretty close. I mean, you got a almost a dead heat in the AL East with the Yankees and the Orioles. The Guardians, who have the best record in baseball, only have 3.5-game lead on the Twins. The Mariners only a half game up on the Astros. The National League's a little more stretched out, but we're having a pretty good summer as far as the races go.
Absolutely. The parity's been great. And the Dodgers have really been beat up this year with all their big, the Yamamoto and the Ohtani signing in the offseason. There was a lot of excitement in Dodger land, like this was a super team. Well, it's a super team if everybody's healthy, but you've lost a lot of guys, a lot of key guys on that team for an extended period. So they've kind of gone, taken their lumps a little bit. Still a great team, but San Diego's playing really good right now, and so are the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they're only 4 and 4.5 games out, respectively. So that race isn't over, I don't think, in the NL West, with all the bumps and bruises the Dodgers have had. You go to the AL West with the Mariners. Man, they got the best pitching in baseball. But Houston started off, you thought that end of that juggernaut and winning the division every year was coming to an end. And all of a sudden, they're right back in it. You know, Texas Rangers, I don't know. I keep my eye on them with DeGrom coming back, thinking, can you make a run? But they seem to, they just can't get it going. So I think that's going to come down between Houston and Seattle. Yankees and Baltimore, they're both going to be playoff teams, but it's interesting. Look out for Boston, too, by the way, in that division. Boston's been sneaky quiet all year, and they're pretty darn good. They pitch, they can hit, they can really hit. Don't have the huge name recognition like a lot of the other teams. You always think of a Rafael Devers. I'll tell you what, that Boston team's really good. I think this new format, from a fan's perspective, from an ex-player's perspective, entertainment value, good for the game of baseball, I think it's wonderful. The 12 teams, the pennant races, man, you're talking, I know in Buffalo you're talking a lot of football, but there's usually a lot more cities right now have completely dismissed their baseball team, and they're forced to talk about it because of this race. So I think for the overall good of the game, I think it's tremendous. Now I put my player hat on. I hate it. I loved as a player playing the 162 and that grind, and at the end how rewarding it was to be atop that division, because that's hard to do. And usually the best team won. I think in today's game, it's the easiest. Well, I don't think. I know. It's the easiest it's ever been to get to that postseason. It's kind of watered down the postseason. You know, you can, guys can put postseason on their resume that back in the day you had to really earn it. So as a player, I like the old way. I like that grind. And usually the best two teams were sitting there in the World Series. These days, not necessarily so. There's a lot of teams that get to the table. And like a year ago with Arizona and Texas, if you tell me anybody predicted that, I'd say you're crazy or you're lying, because that doesn't happen. But it shows the parity in the game. It shows the excitement. And as a baseball fan, and now I don't have to play and nothing's on my resume, I love watching the postseason. I think it's really entertaining and good for the game of baseball.
I was thinking about this point when you were talking about your 116 win season that you lost to the Yankees in the playoffs. Like, more playoffs now make it even more likely for a team that has that great year, that runs away with a division title and hides, to have to go through an extra layer of playoffs. It increases the likelihood of them not winning the World Series, which is, that's right to your point you just made. It's tough.
Without a doubt, there's so many landmines now. Just to get there is great. But then, you know, it's almost like in today's game, it's so much, there's so many injuries. Everybody's hurt all the time, it seems like. The key is play pretty good, get a seat at the table, and be 100% healthy going into that playoff run. If you can do that in this current format, anything can happen and anybody can win. So not necessarily, even if you go 10 years ago, breaking down the playoffs, you had a pretty good idea who the best teams were and who should probably get. I look at the playoffs now and I have no clue. Are the Yankees good? Yeah, they're great. But I could see Baltimore winning too. I can see the Phillies. I never count the Braves out. They've had a tough offensive year. I never count them out. I never count the Dodgers out. Look at the Padres coming along strong and making the bullpen. The Seattle Mariners have the best pitching in baseball. So if you had to nail me down right now and say, who's going to win the World, I got no clue. I could throw 10 teams out there and whatever sticks, sticks. So like I said, the parity, the inability to really truly handicap and say who's going to win the World Series is really tough now, but I think it makes for a lot of surprises and a lot of postseason excitement.
Brett, really enjoy the visits very much. Look forward to talking with you in a month again.
And maybe, hey, let's talk to our guys. Your people call my people. See if we could do it a little more than once a month. Maybe we'll get on every, bi-weekly or something. But, yeah, I always enjoy talking with you guys.
Good deal, Brett. Thank you very much again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Major League Baseball Insider, Odyssey Major League Baseball Insider, Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We'll get back into some football conversation, maybe a little Olympics as we go. 5 o'clock, we'll be on the Bears with Chris Emma. The Bears, of course, are coming to town to take on the Bills on Saturday, so we get the lowdown on that end of that matchup as we move into the 5 o'clock hour as well. Lines are open. If you got anything you want to get off your chest here, feel free to join me. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Shope is on vacation this week along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
On their resume that back in the day you had to really earn it. So as a player, I like the old way. I like that grind. And usually the best two teams were sitting there in the World Series. These days, not necessarily so. There's a lot of teams that get to the table. And like a year ago with Arizona and Texas, if you tell me anybody predicted that, I'd say you're crazy or you're lying, because that doesn't happen. But it shows the parity in the game. It shows the excitement. And as a baseball fan, and now I don't have to play and nothing's on my resume, I love watching the postseason. I think it's really entertaining and good for the game of baseball.
I was thinking about this point when you were talking about your 116 win season that you lost to the Yankees in the playoffs. Like, more playoffs now make it even more likely for a team that has that great year, that runs away with a division title and hides, to have to go through an extra layer of playoffs. It increases the likelihood of them not winning the World Series, which is, that's right to your point you just made. It's tough.
Without a doubt, there's so many landmines now. Just to get there is great. But then, you know, it's almost like in today's game, it's so much, there's so many injuries. Everybody's hurt all the time, it seems like. The key is play pretty good, get a seat at the table, and be 100% healthy going into that playoff run. If you can do that in this current format, anything can happen and anybody can win. So not necessarily. years, even if you go 10 years ago, breaking down the playoffs, you had a pretty good idea who the best teams were and who should probably get. I look at the playoffs now and I have no clue. Are the Yankees good? Yeah, they're great. But I could see Baltimore winning too. I can see the Phillies. I never count the Braves out. They've had a tough offensive year. I never count them out. I never count the Dodgers out. Look at the Padres coming along strong and making their bullpen. The Seattle Mariners have the best pitching in baseball. So if you had to nail me down right now and say, who's going to win the World, I got no clue. I could throw 10 teams out there and whatever sticks, sticks. So like I said, the parity, the inability to really truly handicap and say who's going to win the World Series is really tough now. But I think it makes for a lot of surprises and a lot of postseason excitement.
Brett, really enjoy the visits very much. Look forward to talking with you in a month again.
And maybe, hey, let's talk to our guys. Your people call my people. See if we can do it a little more than once a month. Maybe we'll get on every, I don't know, bi-weekly or something. But, yeah, I always enjoy talking with you guys.
Good deal, Brett. Thank you very much again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Major League Baseball Insider, Odyssey Major League Baseball Insider, Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We'll get back into some football conversation, maybe a little Olympics as we go. 5 o'clock, we'll be on the Bears with Chris Emma. The Bears, of course, are coming to town to take on the Bills on Saturday, so with the lowdown on that end of that matchup as we move into the 5 o'clock hour as well. Lines are open. If you got anything you want to get off your chest here, feel free to join me. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Shope is on vacation this week along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.